Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy, they say in a trade war, both sides are victims.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd want to believe us because we are economists.
Mm-hmm.
No. We've seen stories written about it for the last couple of
years. Yeah.
And we've also seen, Tommy, there are some things you never see coming that can skyrocket in price or disappear altogether.
What happened?
Well, it turns out that Canada has an option to change the way the majority of American men go about their day in an instant.
No kidding.
The question, however, is if they decided to pull this lever, and I'm being serious when I ask this. You're going to laugh at me, but I am being serious.
No, I'm not laughing.
Would this be enough?
Game changer.
To change federal policy.
Oh, wow.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. We're going to jump right into this because I've been waiting for 3 days to do this story. Canada, Tommy, sells us a lot of lumber.
Oh, yeah.
They sell New York specifically a lot of energy. In fact, we're waiting to see how that's going to affect us locally here. But I bet you have no idea which Canadian company has the biggest influence on the daily lives of specifically American men.
Wait, so we use it every day?
Oh, well, a lot of guys do.
Is it Evolve our penis?
Did you know?
I guess I'm right.
That a Canadian company owns Pornhub.
Oh, really?
Alo is a Montreal-based business. And not only do they own Pornhub, they own 12 other adult sites that are wildly popular in the U.S., including YouPorn and RedTube. Fact of the matter is...
Okay, so basically one company controls all the free porn you're looking at.
Bingo. If you watch free porn on the internet, odds are you are getting it from this company.
Oh, out of Montreal.
Is out of Montreal.
Look at that.
In the last 2 weeks, there have been calls from Canadians to have this company shut off access for their free pornography.
Fellas are pulling the butt plug.
To the United States as a peaceful as a peaceful yet powerful show of strength in the back and forth will they, won't they tariff battle.
Because you would shut down pornography, period.
Yes, yes. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
There's been no word from ALO, so who even knows if this is even being seriously considered. But let's paint a hypothetical situation here. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. If... this company were to block all of America from free pornography.
Shut her down.
Right? That would be the most drastic change of anything that Canadian...
Oh, yeah. It would hit you right in the bone.
Okay. Daily life would change for tens of millions of men.
How about you take a nap?
Fun fact.
Yeah.
7 in 10 American men say they watch porn, which, by the way, is a lie.
Oh, yeah.
Way higher than that.
Yeah.
But even, daily or just in general?
Just in general.
Okay.
But even if we went with 7 in 10 adult men watching porn, that's 100 million Americans, about 100 million Americans, who all of a sudden have to use their imagination.
Or talk to their wives.
Or pay for it.
Don't get ahead of me.
Okay, sorry.
I'm sorry. No, it's my fault. You didn't know. Serious question.
Yeah.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Would a shutdown of free porn make U.S. men angry enough? Inconvenienced enough where it would put pressure on the federal U.S. government to come to a solution.
Sure it would.
You don't want to think about it.
I mean, think of how important it is. Oh, yeah. It would not take long.
No, I'm talking about changing federal policy here, right? Like, it would alter the plan of whatever's going on here with Canada.
Yeah.
You think it would?
Oh, sure.
You don't think, like, a new avenue would pop up in its place? Like, is that really the only one, or are there alternatives?
So I'm sure there are other ones, but look, let's put it this way.
I would think, like, you would just resort to that before it would actually change anything.
Okay.
I don't know.
So
I'm heading down to 7-Eleven, get me an issue of Jugs.
When's the last time anybody paid for pornography? I'm being serious.
Well, OnlyFans is super popular.
You're right, but that is a very niche.
Yeah.
I like
it's
her.
It's not even close.
Her only. I mean, yes.
But the volume of, like, viewers compared to, like, those porn sites.
Volume. Not to mention Kimmy.
Yeah.
When
I would just think, like, there is so much porn out there
but
that
they
you'll
control
find.
It.
That you'll find. But they don't control all of it.
New World Porno.
Yes.
Okay, so Kimmy, you're right. I'm sure there are other free websites that offer pornography, but the ones that the overwhelming majority of North Americans use are these. And here's the problem with finding somewhere else. The reason why RedTube, YouPorn, Pornhub are so popular is they're trusted. Mm-hmm. You know that you can go to these sites.
Yeah, there's going
to
be a lot of
rogue sites.
Bingo. Out there. Yeah. I mean, Kimmy, I'll be honest with you.
No, but you're right, and the risk is there, but I think guys are going to be willing to take that risk.
Okay, yeah, maybe, but that creates a whole new problem, right? Yeah. Right now I got, you know, some Russian guy watching me touch myself, videotaping it, and threatening to send it to my whole family. You touch, you pay, or we send.
Ooh.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with those guys.
So, Kimmy, you don't think this would cause a massive freak out that would legitimately change government policy?
No, I just think there's too many other... I think you're going to be willing to pay for it before it changes anything.
But, like, here's the thing. Even a place... I don't know where you would buy pornography.
There's not, like, sites where you can... Like, is there? Yeah, are there, like... subscription services, right?
Possibly.
But I've already gotten something for free. I don't want to pay.
Yeah, exactly. And look at it this way. I mean, the industry... I thought we're insiders. Mm. Oh, we've been watching.
Listen, man, we've been buying this product for a long time, bro.
But like, even a place like Showworld had to change their business model, and they still sell DVDs, but it seems they make more money now in sex toys and smoking pipes than the traditional, you know, films and magazines, right? It almost feels like it's an industry that doesn't exist anymore. And even when it comes to paid pornography, and I am serious when I say this.
Yeah.
Is there enough pornography you have to pay for to satisfy what American men want?
Spoiled.
Well, just because it's such a... There is nothing you can search on YouPorn or whatever that doesn't exist.
And I don't know, like, do they control... I mean, do they own all those images? So, like, even if you wanted to open up your own site, you can't go grab those images because they own them.
Well, they grabbed it from somewhere, though.
No, but they made it... They're a business where they cut a deal with those porn houses. Like, you can't...
Well, I thought it was, like, just amateur videos.
The hottest woman you've ever seen is just a mom walking down the street.
And a three-camera shoot.
Weren't they getting in trouble because they couldn't verify some of the videos?
And they had to change the way they were doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. You're correct, but like the majority of it is professionally shot in Van Nuys, California, a quality hub for pornography since 1966.
252-WCMF. It turns out that a company named Alo out of Montreal owns all of the most popular free pornography sites. They also own Brazier's, which is a paid site, which that would affect that. Yeah. It's also one of the most popular.
I think for it to change policy, you'd also have to have like politicians fighting for it, and who's going to want to put their face on that.
So let's talk about that. Again, there has been push in Canada from Canadian residents for this company, Alo, out of Montreal, to shut down free pornography in the U.S. Just flip a switch and turn it off as a peaceful but powerful protest against all of the stuff going on back and forth between the U.S. and Canada. So, Kimmy, you're right. There would be a few things that would keep men from getting vocal
and
angry.
The pearl clutchers that use it the most aren't going to be the ones fighting for it and putting their names out there.
You're right. Putting your face on it to make a change, nope. What? It's not probably going to It's not going to happen, right? You're not going to see a million batch march to D.C.
You may. You never know.
No, you don't want to watch that. Put your goggles on. And here's the thing. Kimmy is right. Something would show up to fill the void. No pun intended.
May not be as good as it was, but it'll do.
I mean, now it feels like we're talking like the Soviet Union in the late 80s. It's not as good. You have to get in line, wait 10 hours to watch pornography.
It's like sad porno.
Like, it's like those cars where the bumpers would just fall. Well, that's kind of happening.
I mean, the girls all look hungry, and like one pupil's bigger than the other.
I do have a question.
It's just sad porno, man.
I have a question, though.
Yes.
Because you know how like we've seen old things come back around again, and like younger kids find that older stuff cool?
Okay.
Where like I can understand why somebody like Tommy, who's seen it all, seen the rise of it all come about, and you're just like, this is convenient, it's great, I don't want to go back.
Right.
But would like younger people think it's cool now to have like a porn mag? Something they've never had or experienced before.
All right, there's three potential reasons right off the top of my head why that may not work. One, Tommy, you've talked about this before.
Yeah.
The cost.
Yes. Super expensive.
Yeah. Unbelievably.
And it was expensive back in the day.
Yeah.
Like I would love to know like the
inflation
rates. Yes. What I spent for like those really nice porn mags you would get. They were like $15, $20.
And that was in what? The early 80s?
70s and 80s, yeah.
All right, so you can double, triple that.
Yeah.
Are you going to spend $60 to look at still photos, too? The tech magazines don't even exist really anymore, Kimmy.
Yeah.
You would have to,
but it would be new to some people. I don't know.
You'd have to crank up those old publishing houses to like grind out handmade.
You'd feel like you'd have your own personal collection.
Yeah, but that's a collection you don't actually like display. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
They're kind of soiled.
My question, I guess, would there be a thrill, even if it's short-lived, for somebody that's never experienced it before?
Okay, but the third reason is, Kimmy, I don't think you are comprehending the amount of pornography that American men take in.
Because it's so easy now.
And you can find whatever you want.
At any time you want.
Yes.
No, I know. We've talked about like the attention span when it comes to younger people, especially growing up with that.
But think of a married guy.
That's kind of ruined
a married
sex
guy,
for a lot of people.
1978. Mm-hmm. He wants to look at some porn. He's got a wife and two kids. His viewing of pornography back then was very difficult.
Yeah.
Right? He had to be stealth. He had to go downstairs in the bathroom, in the car, someplace to look at it. It was very limited.
Kimmy, they called it the dark times.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And then now you have it 24/7 whenever you want to check it out or when you can get away with it.
I mean, like the way that pornography has been consumed over the last 10, 15 years. And when I'm wrong, I want you to tell me, because you are the expert in this room. Kimmy, when I say you can find whatever you want on these free sites. No, but I'm saying like our brain.
We've talked about it.
Our brain has become accustomed to just rifling through.
It's free candy.
Exactly. If I spend $60 on a magazine, I have just that.
Yeah.
That's all. It's not a magazine where I can turn the page and there's something that wasn't
nothing
there yesterday.
Yeah. I got to wait for my next payday or next month when I can afford another hand mag.
I mean, we've just had this cornucopia, a pornucopia, if you will.
Definitely.
Nonstop stuff. It just, you can't. You couldn't go back.
Yeah. And I mean, you're living in the greatest porno generation there'll ever be.
Well, so far.
No, but I mean, the way it is now.
Don't you think it'll keep improving, though?
Like it is, but it only keeps getting better. It hasn't gone in the reverse.
Yeah.
Until now.
Mean. That's what I mean. You're saying it's the greatest ever, but it could be better.
Right. Or this could happen where we're going back to handbags.
Well, think about that. Here's the other problem, too. Again, 252 WCMF. One Canadian company owns the majority of free pornography sites that we use here as Americans. It's called Alo. They're out of Montreal. They own Pornhub, RedTube, YouPorn, Brazzers, whatever you call that. But there has been a push from Canadian citizens and politicians for them to turn off access for free pornography in the United States. And again, there's been no comment from ALO, so who knows if this is even a thing. But I'm having a serious question. Would this cause enough tension in America where it would change American policy? Salt writes us. Because Kimmy's argument is there would be other ways to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Salt writes us, I think the majority of tech-savvy Americans would just use a VPN service to get around restrictions. Tommy, what's a VPN?
I have no idea.
There you go.
No idea what that is.
Yeah, but okay, he doesn't. But he would learn if he had to.
I don't want to learn.
Yeah, you don't want to, but you will. Hey, show me how this thing works again.
Hot? Why?
Write me out directions.
Any man, let's say this happened next week. Any guy,
you guys would become tech computer experts in a matter of hours.
Yeah, you're like that assistant to James Bond. Yeah.
You now can write code.
No, but if any old man asked for help with a VPN, you know it's because he wants to touch himself.
Yes.
But Kimmy, going back to something you said before, you know, filling the void, again, pun intended, new things. The way that this would be a disaster, like an unmitigated disaster, let's say, hypothetically, this Montreal company turns off the free port, right? And it lasts for a couple of months. Then everything eventually goes back to the way it was before. You know, everything's fine between the U.S., trade wars.
We've opened up the porn spigot is flowing again.
But it turns out, Kimmy, this entire time, we were willing to pay for porn. That Americans go, you know what? Yeah, I'll pay for a porn subscription. Yeah. You know what's never coming back? Free porn. Once companies understand that
you'll
will pay for something, it will never go back to the way
you
it
was
before.
The cost of things never goes down.
Yes. So, I mean, that would be the biggest disaster of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. If you're pro-pornography.
Yes. I mean, every man is, secretly.
Well, 7 in 10 Americans. What I love.
I know those two holdout guys.
30% of American men don't watch any porn. 30%.
Well, you remember, no guy claims to watch porn.
All right, so there's what 220, like a million American adults. Yeah. So half of that men. Let's go 100 million. So that means there are 30 million men that have never watched pornography.
Yeah, then I want nothing to do with it.
That's more than the entire population of the state of New York.
It disgusts me what these girls have put through.
So all jokes aside. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lack of free porn would legitimately be bad for this country, and here's why.
Yeah.
We talk about rising tensions all the time, right? How the poor wives and girlfriends who are going to be propositioned by... Oh, let me try this again. Rising tensions cause anger.
Yes.
They cause people to get shorter with folks they don't know and sure. that they do know. There's going to be angrier people.
Oh, it'd be angry men.
Yes. And then...
Pent up, tense men.
I mean, like, would there be a legitimate change in statistics, like crimes, car accidents, workplace issues?
Everything.
Okay.
My fear would also be, like, where you may turn to find an alternative. You know what I mean?
For example?
Well, just, like, people could start doing it on their own and, you know,
making
if there's no...
porn?
Yeah, and if there's no, like, regulations, things...
Oh, good
call. You know what I mean? Like, there's no...
underground porn
sites.
Yeah,
like, if it's not being done legally, like... Things could go very wrong for people. People could become victims of things.
Okay.
You're right about that. Right. Okay. Well, but then you talk about like who else becomes affected. Kimmy, you being the lady in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Look, let's say that there are men that want to do this the right way. I'm not going to pay for porn,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. But men have needs.
Mm-hmm.
Kimmy,
mm-hmm.
would you be willing for America
yeah.
to have more sex with your husband?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, would he be okay paying for it? But I don't...
Jesus.
No, so, like I thought.
You want to talk about your relationship?
No, I thought you were going to say this is now a household budget.
No.
Well, but yes, but would you argue that that's still different? Like you could
yes.
still, I think guys are still seeking that other way.
Yes, they are.
Understood.
Yeah. No matter how much sex you're having.
The kinky stuff.
Yeah, but I'm not going to, if I'm not going to pay for it. All right, let me ask you.
No, I mean, yes, but I don't think that that's going to help the, what you're, it's not going to fill that void.
All right, let me ask you this because you brought up an angle I did not think of.
Yeah. What's that?
All right, Kimmy?
Yeah.
Free porn goes away.
Yeah.
Canada has shut it down.
Done.
The nuclear weapon has been deployed.
All right.
Your husband comes to you and goes, here's the situation, all right? We can either have sex.
I need a new streaming service.
We can either have sex 2 times a week, more than we do now, or I'm going to need a monthly budget of about $75 to watch pornography. Would you rather have sex with your husband twice more a week?
So that's 2 times a week.
Yep. Or lose $75 a month.
I mean, I think you initially would try to
try in that gung-ho way.
You're not listening.
I'm not
saying
listening.
It's, you're gonna want to do that anyways.
Please,
so what's
man.
The point?
It's a hypothetical question.
Yeah,
because it's more work for you.
Would $75 a month be worth not having to have sex with your husband 8 more times?
No, because I'm cheap.
Most
not
women,
the right answer.
Most women are paying that $75 all day.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, man. She doesn't want your hairy ass on her twice a week.
$75, $75.
I think women will pay it just to be done with it.
I mean, the other thing you're not considering, Kimmy, too, is if I have to get a subscription to something, mm-hmm. there are plenty of people who don't have their own credit cards. It's a joint account.
Yeah.
How am I going to hide that?
Oh, no. You obviously wouldn't hide it.
You would have to go to your wife and say, I'm paying for
pornography.
I thought
that was part of the question.
No, I'm saying not with you. I'm saying in general as American men.
It would show up on your credit card statement.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there would be women who thought, my husband, I keep him satisfied. He would never in a million years. What the hell is this? what is this $75 charge from Van Nuys Auto?
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, maybe, the exposure would be good for a relationship. This is the way it really is.
Yeah. Anytime you look at your wife and say, this is the way it really,
really is.
Is,
darling.
You don't think there are guys hiding that already, to hide that already?
Sure, but again.
I mean, somebody's floating the OnlyFans boat.
No, you're right. But we're talking now the majority of American men.
Now there's a rush.
Yeah.
Like, you think Tommy could hide a porn charge on his credit card? You think Tommy can operate a VPN?
Again, I don't think he can right now, but I think if he had to find a way, he would.
Okay.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
There are some kids from our area that deserve a huge congratulations.
Good.
But this story, Tommy,
yeah,
it's more than a round of applause.
What happened?
Because this wasn't something that existed when we were in school.
Oh.
And the fact is, there are a whole bunch of activities, sports, that had they existed when we were younger, life would have been a lot easier and may have opened more doors for people to find whatever talent may have been hiding inside
of them. Well, this is a great thing, Pat.
Don't be a dick.
I'm not. I'm excited for these children.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. And let's keep in mind, the story we're going to talk about here involves kids.
Come on now. Be cool.
Last weekend, the cream of the crop of robot makers descended onto the campus of RIT.
So these are your battle bots?
Kind of. It was the high school regional robotics competition that took over the field house out there.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, the students put their robot skills to the test to explore the ocean ecosystem using technology. So they weren't fighting each other. They were showing off, I guess, projects in which you could use
underwater robots?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And the story on 13 Wham says there were over 1,000 kids.
Wait, they had 1,000 robots?
1,000, well, 1,000 kids.
Oh.
Maybe there were multiple
Sometimes
kids.
Sometimes they work in teams.
Who knows?
Okay. I don't know. Right.
So the finalists from this competition are headed to the National Robotics Contest.
Wait, top bot?
Next month. And Kimmy, this is a great, it's wonderful, right? It's STEM learning, science, technology.
Well, it's engineering, right?
Yeah, very important. And past kids discovering skills for a potential future career, it's also a place where kids get to fit in that didn't exist
right.
No.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I always wonder now growing up, like, what kids would have thrived doing something like this that didn't even have anything that came close, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of anything that really compares. Like, I know, like, there were certain clubs here and there probably, but nothing like where you were going
to
competitions and actually putting those, like, learning something new like that.
Like, I know there were a bunch of tech-loving, nerdy men and women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s that can hear us right now that would have loved a robotics club when they were in high school.
Yeah, but they had like the AV club and those techie clubs, even when I was around.
Okay, but that's different. And the way you said it shows
clubs.
How different it
right,
is.
What
AV club.
Do you even know what they did in those clubs?
No, nobody cared about those kids.
Hey, he went to go see AVDC at the Miami Amphitheater. Here's the thing.
What?
Back when we were in school,
yeah.
Right? There were boxes you fit into. You played sports, you got good grades, or you did nothing.
Or you're a burnout.
And those things rarely crossed over.
Yeah.
Being a kid today, there are so many more activities, sports, clubs to participate in, and it
find your people.
Yes, Kimmy, you hit it. It gives these kids a place to be themselves, to make bonds with like-minded other kids, to find a place to fit in that a generation or two ago would not have existed.
All right, so these kids, when they get out, they'll have some skills.
Even past that, let's say you're the worst robotics kid in Section 5. You've met a bunch of friends that you would not have found.
Yeah. All right.
Had this not existed, which it didn't for folks
it
like
adds
us.
To your social life, too.
Tommy.
Yeah.
How do you know you wouldn't have found something as a kid that exists as a club today that wouldn't have totally changed your life?
Because I was a jerk. And jerks don't do well in clubs. They just don't. They're not club
people. No, I know.
People.
I've seen your act.
But you know what I'm saying, man. I would have fit in with some jerk club.
You don't know that.
Well, so you loved being a camera guy for your dad that one.
Yes.
Working that kind
of
job.
And I was good at it.
But they have clubs like that now. I mean, they kind of had that when we were kids, but they have like activities that you can do after school where you're editing video, shooting stuff. Like, I think that you maybe would have, you could have found something that you enjoyed.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Okay, fine. You're not going
to
work here.
No, but I also got to work with adults at my dad's shop.
Uh-huh.
So I got to hear all that stuff, which was way cooler
than
working out with a bunch of, you know, dorks.
Minimum wage job at 14, getting whiskey in your coffee that stunted your growth. That's a way better situation.
Kind of cool, bro.
To all the parents out there that can hear us, 252-WCMF, 252-9263, that have kids that are doing stuff like this. Maybe not robotics, but clubs, sports that were not available to you when you were younger. Are you jealous? Are you the type of parent that is now encouraging their kid to try everything they're even slightly interested in because you didn't have that opportunity?
Well, you probably got a better adjusted kid, which you had in my generation, so you're going to need a lot less therapy when you're 45.
Well, to your point, I mean, think about how important it is to feel like you fit in somewhere.
Well, you might meet a girl with that interest, and there's kids. No, hold on.
No, it always goes that way with you.
I'm not saying that. But let's say that those kids from my generation didn't
never
have
found each other.
They didn't have girlfriends. They were just isolated kids. So now you can have a girlfriend. You can have a boyfriend
with the same interest.
Yes. So I don't think that's a bad thing socially or sexually for a teenager.
I just find it weird that your brain immediately goes there every time.
You got a girlfriend?
Creepy Uncle Tommy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna.
She like robots too.
Oh, you better get them battle bots out.
Oh, go get a shot. Hey, you get that battle bot with a shotgun. Came away from that young lady who's 12. You creep ass bitch.
Not saying that, but.
I mean, look, there were kids who were good at engineering and science that wouldn't have had a chance to be a part of a team like this when I was a kid.
I'm also thinking of the teachers that are now thriving that never got to run a club like that, but they would have loved to. But there
people
just wasn't
attention,
there just wasn't interest in it, or like that same. Like, I think it benefits so many people in this situation.
It's a great point. All right, let me ask this question.
Yeah.
252 WCMF. Again, as we're talking about the regional high school robotics competition that happened over the weekend at RIT, 1,000 kids. From our area, out working on robots that were doing oceanic stuff. A couple of kids won competitions, and they're moving on to the national competition. Just an example of a club that didn't exist when we were kids, when Tommy was kids. And there are a ton of these things that are helping kids fit in. Did either of you, were either of you, forced to take a class or do an activity where you realized you had a talent?
Forced to?
Yeah.
No.
It was like a mandatory class or a mandatory club or something that happened somewhere
school.
In school where you were like, oh my God, I'm actually good at this.
I know.
Because you're not good at anything.
No, it was that summer I worked at my dad's TV station.
Okay, that is an example.
But that was different than school, you know? But because even if I liked it, I probably, because it had the taint of school, I was already like, I had, you know what I mean?
You didn't want to spend any longer in school than you had to.
I wasn't going to give it a chance.
Kimmy, were you ever forced to do a club or a class where you were like, oh my God, I'm actually good at this and I enjoy it?
I mean, I took like a lot of art classes that I enjoyed.
So no.
Hey, she is a professional artist who sold work in an auction through the break room.
Artiste, yes.
For charity.
I forgot about that. I forgot.
Actually, an authentic coffee is hanging in my basement right now.
Authentic coffee.
I have a coffee.
I did chorus too, and I made select chorus. So we got to go compete in place. We got to get out of school to go on field trips and stuff.
You can sing?
I mean, good enough to be in select chorus.
I was in chorus to get out of stuff at that Christian school.
Were you in select chorus?
No.
Okay.
Bro, I was like in jerk back of the room.
You know what makes me sad about that? To get into select chorus, you had to read music. And so I guess at one point I could read music. I cannot do that today. Mm. It's a skill that I lost, and it kind of makes me sad that I lost that skill.
But, I mean, you're proving the point that I think I'm making here. It's like you went down this road, and you enjoyed it enough.
Yeah,
right?
I enjoyed it enough at the time.
And you learned a skill that you would not have learned.
Yeah, even though I forgot it.
So I've told this story on the air before.
Yeah.
I was forced to do DECA, my senior year of high school. If you're not familiar with DECA, it's like Future Business Leaders of America.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You do business-centered competitions. Mm-hmm. So my senior year at Aquinas, they made this class for dumb kids like me and kids who already had all the credits that needed to graduate, but you had to take nine classes a day.
So you had to set up like your own business?
So that was part of it.
Were you selling bags of farts?
Well, you're not running comedy club.
My event in DECA was called Extemporaneous Speaking. You familiar?
No.
It's when they give you a topic, they give you something, and you have 2 minutes to come up with something to say. You have to talk about it for like five straight
minutes.
But
it got to the top of your head.
You got it.
Oh, it's like improv.
Yes.
All right.
But I didn't know I was good at this. So it was a joke. It was a joke class, right? Yeah. Like, it's just to make sure we have something to do during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the local, like the regional competition here in Rochester.
They had like a Section 5 thing, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's at MCC, and we were dicks about it, man. Yeah. We went to the thrift store. We bought these loud-ass suits, fake glasses. I won.
No kidding.
I won the regional finals. And I was just being a jackass.
Yeah.
So they sent us.
That's your talent.
They sent us to the state finals, which was actually here in Rochester. They put us up in a hotel Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night.
Man, you big time.
So I go and I do my thing.
Yeah.
I was one spot from making it to the national competition.
Running your mouth.
Yes. And I wasn't, I was just good at it. And I will never forget this. As a kid, they had these judges. It was like three like business people that were actually in business. And they listened to me speak, and I did all my thing or whatever. Yeah. And they would write down what they thought about
you
after.
Pitch.
And and they would give it to you to read. And one woman wrote, he'll be successful in whatever he chooses to do in life.
Wow.
And it was the first time I remember as a kid, mm-hmm. anybody saying something kind about
her. Right, a woman with no taste. That's amazing, Pat.
I couldn't believe it.
Were you doing stand-up at the clubs yet?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. But I didn't know I was good at this. Yeah.
You surprised yourself.
Yes. I was 17 years old, and that went a long
way. You unlocked something.
Yes. Giving a 17-year-old confidence like that, it made me feel like I could do anything. But I wouldn't have gotten that had I not been forced into this situation.
So you had to be pushed.
Yes. Right. I would have never in a million years. Okay. Decca, okay. Okay, Decca. Are you done? The only negative to stuff like this,
what is it?
When it comes to your kids, time and commitment.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many things for your kids to do. And if you have a kid that does want to try everything, it's a good thing in theory.
Yeah, but how can you?
It'll destroy your social life as a parent.
Right.
It'll exhaust
you. But you still need therapy.
I mean, there does have to be a spot as a mom or a dad where you draw a line for the sake of your own sanity.
To.
But then at the same time, you're taking a potential opportunity away from your
kid. Okay, but everything ain't a potential. You had enough potential for today.
No, that's what potential is. Everything is potential.
To a point.
We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF for the break room Facebook page. I had asked earlier, are there parents that wish these things would have existed? Are you jealous of your kid having these chances? Leslie writes, my daughter plays soccer and flag football. I would have loved to play football in high school. I played tackle football until I was in the ninth grade. My dad was worried the boys were too big. There are so many more girls' sports now than in the 90s I'd have loved to
play. Yeah, for women now? Yeah, there's way more opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Kimmy, you lived that, right? There were like three sports for girls to play. Volleyball, soccer, basketball. Those were the ones that they took seriously.
In school?
Yeah.
No, I mean, we had...
Softball,
soccer, field hockey.
Okay.
Yeah, we had none of that. We had two for
girls. We had pretty much every sport.
I guess what I'm saying is they take
lacrosse.
It feels like it's taken more seriously. Now, I remember as a kid, like girls' sports was like, okay, that's something for them to go to.
Yes, it was.
This is where the real sports happen with the boys. Unless I was.
I don't know. Maybe you just weren't in that world. It was still pretty competitive, especially soccer in our area.
No, I hear you. I remember you telling me stories about how you would fake ready to throw up so you wouldn't have to go to basketball practice.
Well, that was me.
Man, I think there was...
Don't go by my standards. No, I remember, like, I mean, there were girls that went like D1
You're
in
right.
those sports. From my high school perspective, it seemed like a big deal.
Because there was like two for me when I was a kid, for girls. Mm. If you were a bigger girl, you played softball. If you were petite, you were a cheerleader. That was it. There was no other sports for them.
Well, you only went to school with 10 people.
No, but like
they're all
like,
the
like
same regular, teams.
Well, yeah, but like talk to someone like your mom's age.
Yeah, no, I understand.
There was nothing for
them. Go talk to your mom.
Yeah, your mom. I mean, there was nothing for them.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's grown a lot, but I think when I was a teenager, it was. I mean, they
was
had most of it.
Okay.
Yeah,
but not like what you're dealing with now.
Yeah, I can't believe
much more travel sports now than there used to be.
I can't believe what girls hockey, just that one specific, has become compared to what it was when I was a kid. Like there weren't girls hockey teams, and now there's multiple. One of them locally is going to the national final.
Look at that.
Brian writes us on Facebook. There is an animation club my son is a part of at school where they make cartoons that look like Toy Story. They have a whole computer room. When I saw it for the first time, I wanted to stay and play with it for the rest of the night.
So, cool.
A lot of schools also have esports, video game, competitive video game stuff.
Right.
That's got to be the number one dad jealous. You could have played video games competitively.
Sitting on your ass playing video games, and you're going to get college credit.
Do you think dads, like, I know that's an argument from parents, but, and I wonder if the kids that grew up with video games, that now have kids that like video games, are you anti-video game because you don't want your kids sitting on your ass? Are you pro video game because you understand it better than our parents did?
Well, I mean, I don't know. If you're someone that grew up with video games and still plays video games, you can't really be anti-video game while playing video games yourself.
In front of your kid.
Yeah.
Right.
This is just for me. It's like pornography. Don't touch.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stories like this, Tommy, is why we are not businessmen.
What happened?
Well, because you and I look at this and be like, hey, we should probably stop doing this now.
Okay.
But it doesn't seem this company, which, by the way, has had unbelievable success, will stop despite the fact that they're losing this much money.
Damn.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So when it comes to the most popular streaming services on the planet, Netflix leads the industry far and away.
Yeah, you got to be number one.
You got it. They have 301 million subscribers.
Damn.
Disney Plus follows them up. They have 124 million subscribers. Mm-hmm. Still pretty impressive, right? Apple Plus has existed now for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And Apple Plus does not break down their subscribers. But industry insiders estimate that Apple Plus has around 40 million subscribers.
Pretty impressive.
Not compared to Netflix.
No, true.
The difference between those two, however, is very small. Now, Netflix has more.
Much more, yeah.
But Apple Plus invests a ton of money into the movies, shows, and documentaries that
quality
they do.
Quality versus quantity.
They do a lot of good stuff.
Because there's a show right now that everyone's talking about that's on Apple Plus. It's like the business one.
Severance.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. But it turns out that when you spend a bunch of money for quality, mm-hmm. without a lot of people paying for it,
you know what happens?
It hurts your bottom line.
Oh, wait. You don't make as much money?
It was discovered yesterday when you touched on make.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Plus is losing Apple over $1 billion a year.
God damn.
Let me say that again.
So I better start wrapping up Apple pretty quick here if I'm liking something.
Apple Plus, the streaming service, loses Apple $1 billion a year.
But how much money does Apple make a year, like profit-wise?
More than a billion.
Still.
Right? Because that's everything. I mean, they've got to be, are they the most profitable business?
Oh, good question.
Not the biggest, but the one that makes the most jack.
Kimmy, you want to Google how much profit Apple makes a year?
Because I know like Tesla and, you know, these other companies are valued at.
Yeah.
But I wonder like bankable money. Because think of what Apple's in.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
Did you hear me say billion?
I'm wondering if they could lose a billion and still be okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to, Kimmy is looking it up.
Because
right
you're
now.
Right. Like some of the best stuff I've watched though, like quality, like
net
stuff,
income.
It's pretty good.
Net income, $97 billion.
But that's net.
But it says revenue, net sales, $383 billion?
But that's not profit. Okay, so look, with those numbers, they can afford to lose $1 billion a year. I guess my question is this.
What's that?
252-WCMF, 252-9263. I'm not a businessman.
No.
You're not a businessman.
No.
Why would you lose $1 billion a year?
I'm trying to do the math. Is like how, although they don't have that many shows.
No, they
and
don't.
And it costs $1 billion?
I mean, maybe to run the service, maybe, all the stuff.
Maybe, yeah.
So this was all reported yesterday during like a stock information and everything, right? So Apple was questioned on it, and they did not immediately respond to their $1 billion-a-year loss on their streaming service.
All these streaming services losing money? Is that part of it? Like it's just something you get into and it's a I don't know. How profitable is Netflix?
I would imagine Netflix. Didn't we see that Netflix is hitting record profits after they started making everyone pay for it?
Right.
Which is a pretty good policy.
Right. Like, if you don't go premium, then you got to see the ads.
Yeah.
But we've also seen a lot of streaming services combine into like a package, which I kind of always figured it's because they needed each other.
Because like Hulu like jumps on with other people.
Yeah.
Like Hulu and the networks are pretty tight.
Well, Disney, Disney.
Yeah, so I mean, so they're covered.
I don't know. I don't know how this works. I can't wrap my head around what the benefit is to having something that loses you $1 billion.
I do watch some of those shows sometimes. Like, I'm like, how do they afford to make all these?
That's how.
Like, I mean, it's so like the special effects and stuff. I go, that had to cost like a fortune.
You bring that up. I think Apple makes all of their shows, like they're all Apple shows, whereas Netflix,
they buy stuff.
They buy, like, they're not producing all the stuff that they have on their streaming services. So, maybe that's why it's.
And there's
so
some jive on Netflix. Like, you'll go, oh, this looks pretty cool. Then you realize it's a Spanish detective series that's dubbed.
How is that jive?
They didn't make it. They bought it from a European service. They didn't make it. It'll say Netflix.
Well, one of their most popular shows was.
But it ain't.
Was Squid Game, and that was Korean, I think?
Sure, let's go with
that. South Korean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them. One of them.
Go, one over there?
One of the good ones.
252 WCMF. We find out yesterday that Apple Plus is losing $1 billion $1 a year
Bam.
For Apple, their parent company. So, all right, so people are writing me right now saying that when you subscribe to Apple, get an iPhone, there's products, they'll offer you Apple Plus for free.
All right, so they bundle it up.
Okay, so like, I guess you're making the money in the phones and they think that having Apple Plus for free for
a
little
while. You already have the Apple products.
Okay.
And, I don't know.
Still. All right. Well, hey. Good for you guys.
Well, no, I'm watching two shows right now.
It? Well, we can, I guess.
Yeah, I don't want to lose them.
Well, hurry up.
I'm going to do it tonight.
Hurry up. How'd you like to be the guy that runs Apple Plus? You know, you're sitting at the board meeting. All right, everybody's all together. Right. iPhone department. Oh, we're doing this and everything's fantastic. All right, great. Laptop department. Yeah, great, great. Apple Plus, how are we looking? We lost $1 billion. We lost $1 billion.
Well, you don't say it that way.
How do you say it?
You got to be like corporate cool.
How do you do it?
Okay.
Our reprojected number is minus $1 billion. But we do see growth in the minus.
They lost 4 Josh Allens.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.